you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Of My Darkest Hour. I'm your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful Thursday evening. Hope you guys are out there somewhere safe, somewhere warm, having a good time. It's good to see that things are getting a little bit back to normal, as we can remember what normal was. But it's good things that are progressing, even though they're slow, but we're going somewhere, so that's great. I want to give a shout-out to everybody listening to the show. Who's been following us on Live Paranormal, of course, everybody at Blog Talk, everybody at iHeartRadio, everybody at iTunes and putting this stuff together. I do want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in for last Sunday for the Paraflix release. That was a huge thing that we did, and I'm glad to be a part of that. I already got a lot of feedback from those of you who was watching season one of my new show, Into the Further. That went really well, and thank you for all the great feedback on that. It's funny, just to be able to get that episode down of A Night at the Majestic and be scaled back for 3 hours of incredible evidence, and it was just so hard to pick and choose what goes into that feature. So obviously for season two, we're going to do a visit back to the Majestic, and I'm going to release the actual full moon seance on footage as well. A lot of people have been asking about that. So I'm going to do it. No stopping me now. We're rolling. Anyway, tonight on the show, my guest is Bill Davis. He is the founder of Chiefland Paranormal, and I really wanted to reach out and find out a little bit about more of his team, but really find out a little bit more of the background behind Bill and, of course, you know, find out how he got started. So let's go ahead and bring him onto the show and click him in here. Hi, Bill. Are you out there?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bill. Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it. I know you're back east, right?
Yeah, in Florida.
Yeah, so you're staying up late with us tonight. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Yeah, so, man, I'm honored to be on.
We appreciate it. You know, I wanted to get you on the show. We're looking at the Chiefland Paranormal stuff, and it's great, and I love the fact that your logo has the guitars in the background. That's super cool, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you play, too.
Yes. Yep. Got to keep myself busy. You know, that's my meditation, my focus, my chi. So it's all about it.
That's right.
So, Bill, let's talk talk from the beginning. You know, one of my first questions is kind of building the story. And for those who might not be familiar with you, and there's actually a lot of people that logged in that said they know you and follow you and they're excited. Let's find out about your story, about how you got involved in the paranormal, whether it was a child or some experience, or whether you've always been involved in the paranormal. Tell us a little bit about that background.
I guess I kind of first got exposed to it in New Jersey growing up. I think it was Colt's Neck on a farm, an old farmhouse that was haunted, and where dishes would fly out of the cupboards and things like that. I think my sisters knew there was ghosts running around there too. So that's probably like my earliest experiences with it. And growing up, being a kid, you know, I guess, you know, the horror hosts and all those, the Universal monsters and things like
that. Mm-hmm.
I was always had an interest in that. So, you know, there was an old funeral home across the street from my house, and me and my buddy used to go over there and kind of sneak in and look in the windows and things, and you'd see shadows moving around in there. And, you know, it was bizarre. But I knew there was something to it.
So as a kid, though, when you were with their buddies, that didn't freak you out, just the fact that you guys are running around there and seeing that stuff, or was it more intriguing?
Yeah, it was kind of intriguing at first, but then it was kind of freaky, you know, because we couldn't really explain it. This was like in the middle of the night, you know, the Undertaker or whatever, you know, there was nobody there. We knew the parking lot because we played football in there, you know, during the day. So, you know, there was no explanation of why there was things moving around in that place. We used to, like, go through the bushes there. Like, the basement, they had the windows, like, at ground level, and we'd get in the bushes and just peek through there and then, you know, scare the crap out of ourselves and then leave.
That's always a great story. Yeah, absolutely. What about the house you were talking about as a kid growing up in? And you say you grew up in a house that was haunted with dishes flying around, or about somebody else?
Yeah. No, that was our house.
Tell us about that experience.
I was really young. I think we came to Florida like for the first time when I was 8. So it was probably right around that area or that time frame. And I remember my sister saying, you know, like I go into a room, like, don't go in there, the ghost is in there, you know. And you could see the fear that they had, you know. And until you start seeing stuff fall, but, you know, you kind of think there's an explanation for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no really earthquakes. And there's not much going on in Jersey as far as earthquakes or tornadoes or anything.
Nope, just the Jersey Devil.
We grew up with those stories, but I don't know, I never really wanted to come in contact with that thing.
Yeah, I've heard people that actually have come in contact with it. It's changed their lives. I know people that have hunted for it and had an encounter with it and never went back and never wanted to find it again. Never even talked about it. It's like, wow.
It was done. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I might go back, check it out.
Well, it's a good story, you know. It's a good thing to check out the history of it and learn about it, because it's an old story, which I think it's fascinating. You know, people forget that Jersey has so much forest lands and it's such a big area. Everyone thinks it's small, but it's like, no, it's actually pretty big.
Oh yeah, we used to go like to the, like, Homedale Park and stuff, and we'd go out behind the school, and my sisters took me to this grave. It was, like, way back in the woods. I mean, it took, like, all day to get there, and there's just one lone tombstone there, and the guy's name was, last name was Hook. So we kind of thought it was a pirate grave, but I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah. His first name was Captain.
It's weird to have a grave. Yeah, Captain Hook. It was bizarre. It was was always into doing stuff like that.
Did you have any experiences with the grave sites or anything?
No, I don't remember anything. I just remember trying to get back before dark. We had to jump over creeks and everything, but like you say, there's a lot of woods, a lot of crazy stuff. Like, we were on a farm too, so.
So the old house, was your sister able to see the spirits, or she just knew because things were happening?
You know, I really need to press them on it, but I don't even know if they'd want me to bring it up.
Oh, okay.
But I need to ask them. I should ask them about it. Because sometimes sisters will say that stuff just to keep you from going in a room, you know?
Yeah, my room's haunted. Don't go in there. Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, they had fear. I knew. You couldn't deny it.
Yeah. So as you're getting older and you're like you just said, you're hanging out with your buddies, checking out the old haunted houses in town, scaring each other, having fun like that, which everybody does. Where did it go from there? Did that make you want to learn more about the paranormal?
Well, we started, I got a Super 8 movie camera. It was a silent one. And we started shooting our own kind of like monster movies, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, once in a while, there'd be stuff on there that was weird, like shouldn't have been in there, you know. Always blamed it on the lens or the camera. So I've always kind of been involved with the cameras since I was a kid, and we moved up to a sound Super 8 camera, and went to VCR cameras.
The big
VCRs.
Yeah. Yep.
A forehead. Camera was really expensive.
Yeah, and heavy.
Now we got, yeah. I still got a kind of a big one now. I got that Panasonic UX180.
Wow.
Which is a huge, like, I love that camera. It shoots IR too, so it'll shoot, you know, true red.
Cool. Do you use that when you guys come
investigating
at all?
You got like a headlight with you. Yep, I'll use that, and I have a GoPro 7 that has the Rage Cam full spectrum lens. Yeah, Rage Cam sells for them, and that it shows, you know, really good night vision.
Cool.
So I've been using those a lot, and they're HDMI out.
Oh, that's cool. It makes it easier.
Using cell phones or, you know, webcams like USB cameras and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a thing called a Sling Studio, which does wireless, too.
Is it like a portable system or something?
Yeah. It's a little portable hub. Small, it's all battery powered. Go to a graveyard where there's no power and hook up like 10 cell phones or tablets, or with these little transmitters you buy, you know, you can run high quality HDMI cameras with it and be mobile. And that's why I started doing like the mobile live investigations, you know, where I can bring people in and they can watch, you know, like you bring in a remote psychic, like Justin Brown and those guys from Interface Death. I did a thing with at a jail, and they could kind of tune in and kind of direct me, you know, where they see things, which is really
cool.
Yeah, cool.
Tell us about that experience.
It's kind of scary when you get acts that are, you know, reputable, like, you know, Jessica Bias, Missy Bastein, Justin Brown. You know, and they're telling you, oh, yeah, there's crap behind you, dude. There's shadows, and that door just moved. It can kind of rattle you when you're standing up there alone, you know.
Yeah, that is funny, because they're on their remote viewing unit watching you, and they're saying, oh, there's something behind you, and you're like, you're there by yourself. It's like, really? I need to turn around and look at this thing? Oh, wow. That's awesome, though.
Exactly. It's crazy. And I think that helps. you know, help stir stuff up and you get that connectivity going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you guys have any good evidence from that night?
You know, and that's another reason why I'm getting kind of old and lazy. I work at the VA. I work over time now. But that's why I like shooting the lines, because I put that on the people watch.
Oh, that's cool. So, yeah. So it's like taking them on the investigation with you virtually. So that's great.
Yeah. And sometimes they see and hear stuff that we don't hear, you know, there at the time. It's kind of like a live EVP thing.
Yeah.
Where they pick it up, but when you run it back, you know, where it's moving around the theater that we just did, which clearly you can hear. I put that on YouTube. We had a Momentos viewing for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hear the seats squeaking, and, you know, there's nobody. Cause I have, I'm running, like, split screen. I can run, you know, split screen on for YouTube or Facebook or four mobile cameras, which is really cool. So you can see, like, nobody was moving in the seats, but you could clearly hear the seats moving up and down, like people sitting in them. That's bizarre.
Just like they're kicking back, enjoying the show or whatever, just sitting there.
Yep, enjoying the show.
Sometimes they do that, you know. Some people don't come to visit them that much, and then when you guys come out, they're like, "Oh, cool, entertainment." So that's awesome.
Right. Yep, I'll get up there and dance for them.
Yeah.
I want to pull
exactly.
The guitar out. I live about 15 minutes away from Bo Diddley's grave.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'd like to take my guitar down there with my little battery powered amp and play some Mona or something and just see if he approves of it, you know.
You never know. Do some EVP work and see if he's singing along with you.
Yeah. That Bo Diddley beat.
That's right. That's awesome. So let's talk about when you started doing the Chiefland Paranormal stuff. Is that just you doing that now, or do you have people on your team that you send out?
I have my daughter with me for the most part, but she works at the hospital too, not mine, but another. And, you know, but she's going to school now, so, and she works the weekends there. And,
oh, okay.
So that kind of wrecks it, yeah. And it's hard to get really somebody to go with you. I had my friend Cindy go with me, and I think we took her one time. That was the theater with the seats moving and all that. And she tried it, like, for the first time. She's got abilities. And she's like, nah, that's it. I'm done. She's done. Just clutching onto her crystals, you know.
Yeah, I'll
try and get her back out of there.
Well, some people they're fascinated by it and they start getting into it. Like, oh, wait a minute, this is a bit much. We're off the top. So
yeah,
but if she has abilities, she's probably going to be dealing with that a lot. So she might as well get used to being in the environment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she's always worried I'm going to bring something over. You know,
that's
beat
funny.
Me with her crystals.
Yeah. I better not get any attachments. You promise? Like, sure. Sure.
Exactly.
So, how long have you been doing paranormal stuff?
I forget when I even and started it. I owned a music store for a while. And that was cool because I got to talk to a lot of people that came in that were interested, and they'd come in and bring me pictures, and I would take them out on investigations. And then I got with the old Gilchrist Jail, ghost hunters, which they have a jail here in Trenton that's pretty haunted. So I hang out with them a lot. They get a lot of the residentials too that I'll kind of tag along with those. They're a good bunch of people.
Oh, that's awesome. That way you can get out there and try new techniques and new gear, all that stuff.
Yeah, it was a good training ground for a lot of people. We take them to that Trenton jail and train. And Cindy went to that one too. And I guess it was like the same weekend. We did the theater and then the jail the next night. I think that's really what put her over the top. It was too much.
Too
much there.
There you go. Sometimes that happens.
I think she's listening.
Little steps at a time. One step at a time for them.
Yeah. She's listening, so we'll have to talk her into going again.
Awesome. You hear that? He's getting ready to take you back out there, so you better get yourself prepared.
Right.
So do you guys...
Learn this camera.
What do you like to use when you're on an investigation?
Man, I don't have a lot of equipment. I have all camera stuff. The best piece I have. Well, I have a recorder that I use, and I'll hook that up too, so I can have a couple different audio sources to check. I think I just really have just a paranormal puck, and that thing just does like the atmospheric, like pressure and static electricity and temperature. Things like that I'll monitor. You can set alarms on it to see if it collaborates with anything else. But I really don't have a lot of. You know, I think I have a SB7. I do have that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I dig the radio stuff. But you know how that how that thing goes.
Yeah, ITC. It's been a good one for the past 20 years has really been coming a long way.
Yeah.
And now there's so many different types that you can do with that now. It's fascinating.
Yeah. I just picked up a wire recorder a few months back, which is like built in the 40s. I don't know if you've ever seen anything. It's got tubes in it. It's a big thing, but it has like it's like a reel-to-reel, but it uses like stainless steel wire or it's real thin wire, and you can record on it and playback. So I finally got it running, but I got to get the microphone on it. But I thought that would be cool to try to pick up because it's magnetic, it's metal, and that's how it picks up stuff, records.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Interesting.
Yeah, it's I forget what it's even called. It's a Western or something. They're pretty cool.
Nice.
Give that a shot. And I'm working on another thing now. It's like I got a 3D printer. I'm printing this ornate square box. And I'm putting in the sensors, like backup sensors for a car, ultrasound. To tell you when you're getting into a parking spot, close.
Yeah. Like someone's getting near you or whatever.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm going to put them in that box and run it with a little 12-volt battery that I have and see if we can get that working. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, like a proximity alarm. That'd be cool.
Yeah, yep. But using those backup sensors is a little different.
Nice. So tell me about... some of the investigative stuff that you've done. Like, tell me some of your favorite experiences that you had since you've been doing the paranormal.
The favorites. I mean, I do like the Chiefland Theater. It's been around for a while, and it's a good place to investigate, but that's like where I first kind of saw my first apparition.
Cool.
And, like full on. But I still think it was something in my eye. But I mean, I saw this little girl there and there was a mirror and I just wanted to look in that mirror to see if I could see her reflection even. And I just froze. And of course my batteries had died and I was going to go down and place them in the GoPro. And then I saw that thing and I just And that was it. That kind of shut me down for a couple weeks, really. It's really unnerving when you see something like that.
Well, and what,
you know, you do it for a long time.
What was going through your mind the first time you connected with that?
I was just stopped with fear. I'd never seen anything like that. I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and I saw a lot of, you know, you see a lot of shadow play, and, oh, look, I think I captured a shadow figure, and tons of EVPs, you know, that you listen to, and you're like, what in the hell is this? You know, and crazy stuff like that. But when you actually see something like that, it overloads you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I even deleted Facebook.
What about shadow people?
I don't want to talk to nobody.
Have you seen shadow people before?
I mean, I've seen shadows. I don't know, like, if I could really make out, you know, silhouettes type. You know, I know people are seeing, like, the guy with the hat. I don't know if you've heard of that phenomenon lately. The hat figure.
Yeah, he's been around for a while now.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen anything like that, but, you know, just movement, you know, like when you're only one there and you're like standing still and it's not from car lights or anything like that, kind of weird.
Yeah.
But that apparition was like the most bizarre thing.
That's awesome. So was the apparition looking at you? He knew you guys knew you knew of each other?
Yeah, she looked straight at me. I just locked in. And then when I finally did blink, you know, it was gone.
Ah, too bad.
It was in a weird spot, too. Yeah, it was like where another investigator, his daughter, was up there earlier, and, you know, she felt like there was a hand, you know. That's why I don't know if it was my imagination going crazy, but I mean, I wasn't really even looking at the time because my battery was dead, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go down and you know, re-gear. And that's when I seen it. So it was just shocking.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I had, like,
at least you got to see it. Experience that. That's great.
Yeah. And after that, I think a couple weeks after that, you know, I was getting, excuse me, I was like getting my name called and stuff, you know, in my room when I'm trying to sleep. And this theater is like almost like right across the street from me. It's just down the road. So I don't know if she followed me over here. But there's weird things going on in my house, too.
Ever since then?
2 weeks. Well, it was there for like 2 weeks, and then, you know, then I got out my spray or whatever. I need to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
I got to sleep. I'll come see you in the theater maybe again. You got
the
go.
Well, that's the thing. They'll come home with you if they find you fascinating or want to hang out with you more. It usually lasts about, I don't know, I notice it lasts about a few days or so, and then it kind of fades out. But, yeah,
right.
they just want to hang out and check you out.
That is weird, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. We're trying to find them, and they're just hanging out just spying on us. It's like, really? That's funny.
That's the bizarre thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess we'll have to go back. Gonna have to go back.
Totally. And the more you make friends with that spirit, every time you go to visit, they'll appreciate that. And then every time you go, they'll want to come and see you and do more stuff. So it really makes it better.
That's true. I see a lot of people making a good connection. Like Jesse Lisk. I don't know if you know him. He's with the Brooksville Pit Crew. Here in Florida.
Cool.
And he's at the May Stringer house. You probably know the May Stringer house. They featured that on Kindred Spirits. I've been there a few times, and Jesse's a great guy. And I mean, he got to know those spirits there really well. and that, you know, they work well with him.
That's awesome.
You know, if they don't.
Yeah, it's all about building that like friendship and that trust.
Yeah, he's got it. He's great. He goes around doing different tours too, different places like the old Hamilton County Jail, and he holds all the, you know, the events and things that you can go, and you don't have to have anything. You can just go and enjoy it. You know, he's got all the equipment and everything you could think of.
That's awesome. So, different environments.
Yeah, he's got a good rapport.
Tools.
Yeah. And awesome. Amy Bruni, I don't think that Gary in the May Stringer house didn't care for her too much because he was
really Amy's
was
nice.
Pitching
I know
her
Amy.
Up pretty good. Is she?
Yes, she's very
this
nice.
Spirit didn't like her. I guess she wasn't nice to Jesse, so.
Wow. Well, sometimes it happens.
Nice to Jesse.
Is it a girl spirit?
There are girl spirits there, but I think the one up in the attic that was giving her the trouble is this guy Gary, I guess, from like vaudeville days, is attached to like a trunk there. Pretty cool. And,
wonder why the trunk
might have
been there.
I don't know. I think they said he might have used to travel with it. I don't know if he was in like show business.
But if he's attached to it, there'd be something that he wants from it. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they even moved it downstairs where it was to see if the activity followed it, and it did. Which is weird. But there are more spirits in that house. So if you ever get a chance to go there, definitely give it a shot. You're way out in California, though, aren't you?
I am way out here in California. Yeah, on the coast.
I was there for 4 years.
Oh, yeah? Where?
Merced, California. Merced.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
I was in Castle Air Force Base about 4 years.
Wow. Well, that's cool. You get to travel.
Yeah, that's great. You got the mountains there. You have the gold mining, and you got the ocean, you got everything. So that's a pretty good paranormal hotspot.
Yeah, that whole section up there is pretty good. All like you said, all that mining stuff. That was just all those spots are just super haunted from all that turn of the century stuff. That's where I get to do a lot of that out here when I'm filming our shows and stuff. I really like historical stuff, something with a lot of rich history that you can learn from about at the same time. So that's really cool.
Right.
You guys have a lot of that out there, too, in Florida.
Yeah, we got the Indian Wars and the Civil War was down here, Cedar Key.
That's right.
The railroad, Billy Bowlegs, the pirate. A lot of cool stuff. I started bringing my metal.
Fort Sumner out there too?
Yeah, Fort Sumner.
Yeah, that's a great spot. Wow.
St. Augustine. Yeah, you have to take a Florida trip.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. It's been a few years. What's your favorite location that you've done through your experience in doing the paranormal?
I would say that theater.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other good ones, like the May Stringer and the old Hamilton Jail. And the
Trenton
Jail.
There's a lot of great spots out there.
Mm-hmm. That theater is just great. It's amazing.
It's
not really on the radar.
So that's awesome that you have it to yourself. Don't tell anybody about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only been a few local investigators in there, I think, so far.
Well, that's awesome.
Makes it kind of nice.
Hey, everybody out there, you are listening to My Darkest Hour. We're having a conversation with Bill Davis of Chiefland Paranormal, talking about different locations, talking about different types of equipment that he likes to use on investigation. Of course, we talked about him growing up in a haunted house where his sister was experiencing things as well. So what about the near future? Do you have any investigations coming up that you want to get into?
I'm definitely going to go to the Battlefield Bash this year. I've been trying to get there every year. That's it, like in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
You heard of that one? Like for charity. There should be a lot of cool cats up there. I think it's in August this time. I'm definitely going to go to that. And the guy's been trying to get me to go to the... yeah, I would imagine so. It's usually in July, but this time it's in August.
Mm.
I know the guys are trying to get me to go to the Funiak Springs, too, that that hospital. It's like in Pensacola.
Cool.
I'd like to get out there. That's a pretty good
one. Yeah, but is that like a mineral springs or something like that where people used to go to get healthy?
Real sure. I'm not real sure about that one. I think there's that and there's a hotel there.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's cool. So with paranormal television and all the pop culture media stuff out there, what do you think about that? Do you think that's helping the paranormal, or do you think it's taking away of some of the paranormal?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess. I mean, it has brought a lot of awareness to it. I like to watch it. I mean, that's like entertainment for me. You know, Ghost Adventures, I know everybody's about it, but I love watching it because it makes me laugh, you know. But I mainly look to see what kind of cameras they're using, you know, just to see audio-visual type stuff and wireless, you know, audio and things like that. That's what I watch.
That makes sense, all the tech stuff. Cool.
Yeah, I do. I definitely like the tech stuff. I don't know. They can kind of wreck stuff, but if people can get into it and then start, you know, going and like just tuning in to Justin, you know, we do a show every Friday called Interface Death Weekly. If, you know, they, at least you get, you know, hooked. If they're watching the show and then they kind of come over somewhere where they can actually learn, you know, how to correctly do it, you know, I mean, that is television. So, I mean, they're going to go for ratings, I would think. You know, you can't really believe anything you see. I mean, you can't believe anybody, anything you see. That's why I like kind of doing the lives, you know, because it's not really edited. It's all right there.
Yep. Yeah, the Facebook Live, going to Facebook Live is always great, and it gives people a chance to do some real-time investigative work with you. When I go to a lot of the Paracons, I'll do a live feed from there, so people who can't go to the Paracons can get that sensation of what it's like to be there. So the same thing with you doing the investigations. It's like, all right, everybody come along with me. This is what we're going to do right now. We're going to try this out, or we're going to see if we can make contact with whatever. And it makes it more exciting because it's real. It's real world time. So it's like, this is happening right now. And people get all excited
in the chat.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it too. And that's cool. There's a lot of people, they love it and they're into it, but they can't get out and do it, like you said, you know. Or they're too scared to do it, you know, which I can understand. You know, there was 2 weeks where I was too scared to do anything after that. But, you know, I don't mind watching it, but I don't even watch really television anymore. I watch Facebook or YouTube's. But I really enjoy the lives because you never know what's going to happen.
And like you said, you get a chance to see something that the person doing the live feed's not seeing something. So you always say, look behind you or that thing over there. Go check out that thing, you know. That's so exciting.
They do it. They get into it. But, yeah, that's what I'm living for right now. That's why I like to do the lives, for sure.
Cool. Tell us about that show you were talking about you guys do every week.
Yeah, from 8 to 10 Friday nights. I think he's just shooting it on YouTube now on the Interface Death Facebook page. And you'll have Justin Brown on, like, his co-host. And he had me on the show, and then he decided, you know, he sprung it on me to be, like, the co-host of the show, which kind of, you know, took me back. But it's really cool. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got so much intelligence, you know, with the quantum physics and everything, and that's kind of why I'm on there, to kind of dumb them down a little bit with the science part of it, you know. But then you've got the psychics too, you know. You got Missy and Jess, and they're on there, and they're reading the comments. And I think the very first show I was on, we're talking, and it was a train that went by, and I asked her, like, is that, you know, that train? She goes, yeah. And then you can hear somebody in the background just whisper, "Grandma," you know, clear as day. And we didn't hear it. None of us, you know, we're all four hooked up with mics and headphones, and none of us heard anything, but somebody in the chat heard it. So they rewound it, and then it was there, an EVP, which was crazy to me, because I didn't hear anything. And then when I put, like, the spectral analyzer on it, you could see the grandma comment is just, like, hanging out there, like, right in the middle. You can see all the lines of, you know, human speech, and this thing was just hanging out in the middle. That grandma comment, but it's clear as a bell. Of course, you can't really see that link of anybody. Yeah, that's what we were thinking. It's the craziest thing. And I have seen other things, like, I don't know if you know Robert Murphy from Elite Paranormal Society. He does a show, and they do lives, and they had it too, where people were hearing stuff, and they didn't hear anything. And they're, like, you know, telling them, you know, you need to get out of there. This thing's going crazy. Telling this Bonnie to get out and stuff. So it's kind of a new kind of phenomena that I've seen kind of spring up, that people in the chat are listening and hearing stuff, and you're not hearing the thing where you're at. It's weird. So you play it back.
Yeah, that's always cool.
So a live
you
can
do it look right there.
Yeah, like a live EVP.
That's awesome. So, overall, like, what has been your best piece of evidence you've got so far?
Best piece? I would think it was, like, the EVPs that I got. Most of those all got kind of destroyed on a hard drive back before the days of the cloud. Now we got the cloud to store stuff on.
Yeah.
Or Facebook and YouTube. You know, it kind of stays on there. Yeah, we lost a lot of stuff. I've been going through computers like crazy, you know, PC, because I play games too, or used to. So we're always ramping it up. Now I got a Mac, though, and it's pretty reliable.
Yeah, it's got a faster processor, so it's probably really good.
Yeah, I use it for the editing, like the Mac editing software. I can't remember what it's called.
So you're not using Adobe Premiere Pro or anything like that?
I was using the Adobe Pro, and then I got the Mac. So then I got their software. I don't know why I can't think of it. I use it all the time. What is it? It's expensive.
Da Vinci? Is it Da Vinci?
No.
Because that's a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Justin uses it, maybe. Back editor. Final Cut Pro 10.
Oh, there you go. Final Cut. Okay, yeah.
That's sad. I can't even remember. What kind of editor are you? I don't even know what the name on you.
That's
all right,
man. It's late on here. It's late over there.
It's late. I got to work. They're going to make me work Saturday, too, overtime.
Oh, wow.
That sucks.
Yeah. At the hospital, you ever experience anything?
Yeah. Yep, I have. My department is MAS, which is Medical Administration, and we also, like, have, like, the morgue. So,
oh, wow.
And I know the girl used to work with me. She got the job in details, and she does the morgue. But she's always asking me to go in there, you know, with her, because she's kind of, you know, scared. So I'll say, sure, I'll go. Then I go, and, you know, we were retrieving this cell phone and some personal belongings off the body, and, you know, we pushed him back in there, and we took our gloves off and washing our hands, and then you could hear, like, we heard this knocking. And she looks at me, and she goes, did you hear that? And I'm like, yeah, I heard it. Time to go. Time to go. That was bizarre. You know, and it's quiet in there. We're in the basement. I don't know where the hell I'm knocking. But I wanted to look in there. Just, you know, maybe the guy's not dead, but, you know, he was clearly dead when we pulled that bag off of him. You know, it's kind of like stuck to him. You know, he's cold. And but it has like a little window, like a little square window in that door. Turn the light on from the outside, and you can look in. I'm like, I'm not going to turn the light on and look in that window, because if somebody, like, jumped up through there, you know, in that window, I would have died. I'm like, I'm not looking in there. We just got the hell out of there. I'm like, well, let me go back to the VMF meter.
Crazy.
Yeah, when something. You're not really expecting it. Yeah, I think I had an app on my phone. I was running a little EMF map. I'm not sure how good those things work. Using a magnometer in your cell phone or whatever.
Well, you have to have
EMF meter thing
in your cell phone for it to work properly. A lot of cell phones don't have that, but some cell phones do for getting your location and stuff like that. So nowadays they're getting better and better all the time.
Yeah, this I got the iPhone 11, I think. It seems to work all right. Probably not as good as a Mel meter or anything, but
you got to use whatever you got at the time.
Yeah, I did pull it out, but I'm thinking maybe I'm going to get fired. You know, I probably should be doing this. It's like kind of disrespectful, but, you know, that's the first thing that goes through a ghost hunter's mind. You know, pull something out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly that.
I bet there's.
So, what's next for Bill Davis? Like, what are you going to do? Steps in the paranormal. Like, what's ahead of you?
I'm going to start. I started taking some pictures. I'm going to do something for Josh Bender from Deadlight. You know, Deadlight.
Uh-huh.
Make like the absolute best deadlights in the world. And I have this ventriloquist dummy that they always keep trying to get me to use. I don't know why I have them, but Justin calls me like a non-triloquist, you know. So I'm not a ventriloquist. I suck at it. But I want to shoot a promo for his lights, but I want to put the dummy in there. So I got him a tactical helmet. So I'm going to shoot that with the fog machine and have him coming out with the dead light and the camera and stuff. I think I want to start shooting things like that. And definitely doing a live. I'm trying to, you know, talk to some of my psychic friends that are willing to come on with me and I'll bring them in. I'll just picture in picture, and I could talk to them in real time, and, you know, they can do the live things. find a location to go to.
That's cool.
What I want to really want to do. Yeah.
You're gonna put that on Facebook Live?
And that camera kind of gives me that false confidence too. You know, I don't know. You've got a million things going through your mind with the camera and the angles, and as you're walking around, you know, maybe, you know, kind of probably takes away from what you're doing. But for me, that's kind of good. I know some people just go in there in a location and just don't have anything, and they just, you know, tune into it, you know,
mm-hmm.
where they can open themselves up to where they can see and hear things better, you know, with their abilities and whatnot. But, I don't know. I'm still kind of leery. Still kind of scares me a little bit. I mean, I'm a runner. I'll be the first to admit it. I may be the last one running, but I'm going to run if I have to.
Yeah. Someone starts chasing you, is trying to eat you, you should start running. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll run. Run backwards while I'm filming. I don't know, that camera kind of gives you false confidence, though. I don't know if you noticed that.
Well, you can always hit it with it if something's coming after you. It's a big camera.
Yeah. Kind of like walking around with an M16. Same thing.
Yeah. That's a big camera. Well, that's awesome, though. And that
180 is big.
That recorder sounds interesting. The one you said that's from, like, the 40s or whatever, that'd be cool to check that out in action.
I might have posted something on my page with that thing. I'll get with you. I'll send you the links on it. Because it was cool because it came with, like, came with stuff. And you can hear, like, old... Like somebody recorded their baby and, you know, and music and stuff, you know, probably from the 50s. So that's kind of cool to listen to that stuff.
Yeah, does it record on like a magnetic tape?
It's like a wire. It's like, you know, like bailing wire.
Wow, that's interesting.
Real thing. Yeah.
You record all that on wire. Wow.
I'm thinking it'd be cool, but I'm thinking it might be a pareidolia nightmare, you know. But they say, you know, like if you have a magnetic tape, you don't have to really push record. You can just drop the tape down, you know, and you know, the entities can kind of, you know, put their impressions on the tape. And you can hear things, you know. So maybe...
That's true.
Maybe.
I like the old recorders because they generate their own sense of white noise with the mechanics that they used to use back in those times. So it's actually giving a bigger frequency to some of the spirits that need that extra push, you know.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times you can just get it in white noise. And like when you're using the spirit box, it's not even hitting, you know, the stations or whatever. It's the white noise, like, in between. So, like, if you had a radio and you just tuned it in between stations where there's nothing, or use, like, an aircraft band and where there's no traffic on it much, and you get that static, you know, you can hear things in that.
Yeah.
Where they put them.
That's cool.
It's all cool.
Awesome. Well, Bill, we've come to the end of the show. I have to start wrapping up. I do want to say I appreciate you coming on the show and spending some time with us, giving some of the listeners out there a chance to find out you and your experiences and about G-Plan Paranormal and the stuff that you're going to do in your streaming events. So if anybody wanted to reach out to you and ask you some questions about that, how would they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. They can go to my Facebook page, either my personal page or Cheap and Paranormal, and I also have that Paranormal Reporter page that I throw everybody else's stuff on that I share too, or Instagram, Cheap and Paranormal, and YouTube, Cheap and Paranormal on YouTube.
There you go. For those who are listening, I did put a link up on the page on Facebook, so if you guys want to go there, you can check out and learn a little bit more about Bill and Cheap and Paranormal, and keep an eye out for those live events when he's going to the investigation, so you guys can all follow along with him. which sounds like a great time. I have to check that out sometime myself. So thank you, Bill, for joining us tonight, and I hopefully going to talk to you soon and check out some of that stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. An honor.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right.
So that is it, tonight's show with Bill Davis right here on My Darkest Hour. Thank you to everybody who was able to check out the first episode of the first season on the show on the Paraflix last Sunday. And, of course, it's still up there streaming. I'm hearing about it and getting emails about it and people inquiring about what's next. So there will be a lot of things ahead of us. We'll bring that to you guys. Give a shout-out to Achievement Paranormal. You can go to their page and check that out. Also want to give a shout-out to Live Paranormal and everybody at Paraflix and everybody over at Blog Talk letting us use the format, iHeartRadio, iTunes. I'm going to give a shout-out to my sponsors, Chili Man Salsa Company, and also P-Tech, Paranormal Technology, with Mike Murray. And then I also want to give a shout-out to Lizzie Woody's Crafty Creations, along with Daniel's Toy Empire. So those who are collecting a lot of that Ghostbuster stuff, you can always go to Daniel and request it, and he'll find that stuff for you. So that is going to be it for tonight's show. Want to give a shout-out to everybody who's making the show happen, everybody in the meeting, in the chat rooms and stuff. And we will see you guys same time right here next week. So in the meantime, if you guys are going out there paranormal investigating, make sure you do it safe with somebody. And if it's cold out there, dress warm. You know, you don't want to get sick. Everyone's been doing good so far, so let's not anybody get sick. And we will see you guys next time. Good night.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.